Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 12 after the hour, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find our show and the newsletter and the blog and lots of good stuff there that you can use to your advantage. And also our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. I hope you'll check that out too. Gwendolyn Galsworth is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She is our visual expert in the Brain Trust. She is one of the world's experts, actually, on visual thinking, visual working. She's the author of Visual Workplace, and she's our good friend, recently just back from the land down under. Gwendolyn, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
It's good to have you back, and that's Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth. Thank you very much.
Yes, I might appreciate that.
Gwendolyn, you just got back from Australia.
Did.
And we live, my audience and I live vicariously through my Brain Trust members' lives. Many of them travel, do a lot of traveling around the world, and so we need you to tell us if we had a good time in Australia.
You're such a funny man. I did. I had a great time in Australia. I was there for a month. I went down to do a keynote for an international organization.
I'm so jealous.
Oh, it was really.
I only got to go to Copenhagen this year. I didn't get to go to Australia.
Oh, that's nice. I've never been.
I would have swapped though. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then we did a series of seminars in about four or five different cities. So it was really great. A couple of things struck me about Australia. First of all, they were so receptive and open to my work and to the kinds of things I was sharing with them, and they were grateful. I felt such an appreciation.
Australians are the most genuine people on the planet.
Yes, that's exactly right. I have yet to find their shortcomings. They're plain spoken and they're genuinely happy to both be alive and learn. It's amazing. Yeah. I think that they're an extraordinary people. Let's see, the other thing, I was around water all the time because all the major cities are on the coast.
You know that they have 8 of the top 10 most deadly snakes down there too, right?
No.
Yes, I should have told you that before you went.
No kidding.
That's the truth. It's pretty close. I don't know if it's 8 of the 10, but it's like more than half of all the deadliest snakes on the planet. They have them. What did you find? What was the difference about the visual workplace in Australia than you would find, say, here in the United States?
Well, I don't want to speculate, but I would say that they are some of the companies. I saw only a handful of companies during my time. It was mostly in seminars, but the companies that I did see were impressively advanced in visual, and I found them very inventive. I didn't see the application of what I call methodology. In other words, a kind of step-by-step application of how to actually make a conversion, how to convert an environment from non-visual.
So it was more elementary or rudimentary in visual?
No, it was more imaginative. It was more inventive. Oh. And even though they didn't have methodology, they still came up with wonderful solutions. In other words, they weren't following a recipe.
Well, you know, they're pretty uninhibited down there.
I know.
So maybe that transfers over into their visual workplace.
Yes. I was very impressed by that, and I was very impressed by the food. The food, Jim, is nourishing. I know this isn't a topic about gourmet eating.
It's okay. We can talk about food anytime you want on this show.
The food was sturdy. I had something for
sturdy.
One.
Sturdy? I've never heard that term used before.
You know, it was nourishing. It actually, I could feel my body absorb nutrients. I have to say it's a different experience for me.
But you live in California, though, don't you?
I live in Oregon.
No, you live in Oregon. Well, that ain't any of that West Coast stuff. You guys eat a lot of tofu out there. So, so you know, I can imagine that you get some real protein down there in Australia.
It's not just the protein. It's the quality of the vegetables and it's the,
yeah.
I'm going to have to investigate it so I can put some words around it, but I felt very, very nourished. And the servings are, let's say the food is very interesting, and it feels all home-cooked, even in restaurants. I was, and the meat is fantastic.
Now I'm even, you're making me even more jealous than I was before. what did you learn? Tell us something, one thing you learned that you can bring back to us from down there.
Thank you. There are two things, and funnily enough, they came from an unexpected setting. A woman in my seminar, one of my seminars, came rushing up afterwards and said, "Oh, Gwendolyn, I must tell you what's going on in our nursing home." And I thought, well, what can she be talking about? Because we haven't done any direct work there, but still, because there's missing information, there's room for visual. And she said, "We've been having a lot of difficulty keeping our Alzheimer patients in their rooms at night. They tend to wander the halls. And, you know, because of their condition, they aren't given to being trained or supervised, admonished, or anything." And she said, "One of us thought about putting just a dark border on the threshold of the door. And when we did, the Alzheimer patients stayed in their rooms."
Dark border? What do you mean? How did that look?
Okay, so just look at a carpet. So it's going to be light on one side, or one pattern on one side, a light on the other side, and in the middle is a border, a length of dark carpet that's about 12 inches. And it's not a structure. It's simply, you know, it's two-dimensional.
And they wouldn't cross that.
And they wouldn't cross it.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, and I found the same thing.
Now, the only thing I can think of that's close to this, and I don't mean anything except just an example, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
When animals, cattle especially,
that's
cattle and
exactly
sheep,
right,
will not cross an open bridge. If you've ever seen a cow pasture, mm-hmm. where you cross from the road into the pasture, it went over a ditch and there was an open, you know, like a rail type of a bridge, mm-hmm. but no gate. You'd wonder, why aren't the cows getting out of that gate? They won't cross that.
That's right. But you know
what
else?
Is this similar to that?
It is. I intuitively I believe it is, but I don't have any research to back it up. It just floored me. But I saw that exact phenomenon, but even more extremely.
You saw it working. Did you see a demonstration of this?
What I saw was these. Oh, I'll tell you after the break.
Yeah, let's take a quick one. She's done this before, folks. Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, the author of Visual Workplace, Visual Thinking. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Fascinating stuff. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, the author of Visual Workplace, Visual Thinking. She also is president and founder of Quality Methods International Incorporated, a training, development, and consulting firm specializing in techniques of the visual workplace. And Gwendolyn, give us your website, please.
Thank you. It's visualworkplace.com. That's... is it one word? Yes, visualworkplace.com. And then also VL Institute. That's our school, the Visual Lean Institute, VLInstitute.com.
Right.
There's some really good pictures on the visualworkplace.com in the members area, which is free. And there's some nice case examples of showing befores and afters and some very interesting applications.
Can they find your book there?
Yes, they certainly can find all my books. I've got five.
Or at Amazon, too, I'm sure.
That's right.
Okay, we're talking about the visual things and Gwendolyn was just telling us about how they changed they put a dark swath of carpet down at the doorway of an Alzheimer's patient's room, and they didn't go outside.
That's right.
Because they couldn't figure out if that was maybe they in their mind it was a hole there, right?
That's an interesting speculation. I don't know what the research is, but it represented something in the intuitive mind. what we find in our work in visuality is that the mind is, we've discovered, and this is also the work of, oh, I believe his name is De Bono, that the mind is a pattern-seeking mechanism, and as when we can lay the pattern down, the mind is relieved of a lot of its effort to try to make sense out of the environment.
And is able to move and react quicker.
That's right. The mind,
because you don't have to think,
safe.
You don't have to process. You just connect.
That's right. The mind feels safer, therefore the body feels safer, and there's a huge opportunity for us to use visuality to create those levels of kind of intuitive logic.
Who came up with the red light, green light thing? Where did that come from? See, red has always been a sign of danger. In nature, red is a sign of danger, isn't it, for other animals?
You know, I'll have an answer for you the next time we
chat.
It's
true. Listen, I'm somewhat of an expert at this. I just know that I mean, I love wildlife. That's what I will be in my next life as a naturalist. Or a zoologist. But red is a sign of danger to predators or other animals, and so. And so I wonder if that's where it came from. And then I don't know where green came from. I don't know why that became the go light. I don't know if you do or not. But the point is, I want to bring this back to how all this benefits small business owners. Your employees, folks, are human beings. The pattern seeking minds that you were talking about, Gwendolyn. Mm-hmm. Is that what you said? The pattern seeking.
Yes, the mind. Our minds are pattern seeking mechanism. Yeah.
Pattern seeking mechanisms. Every human being in your employ or in your organization has a pattern seeking mechanism between their ears.
I'd like to add to that. We live in a visual world, and we are visual beings. Even if we didn't know that we were visual beings because of our chemistry, because of our biology, the kind of thing that you're suggesting, because so much of our information is shared visually, we are used to those cues and clues and applications. And you can use stoplight, this red, yellow, green, in your workplace for so many things. Let me give you a couple of examples. There's a plant in Mexico that has 5,000 people working there. They make airbags with ignition systems. There's a lot of sewing, a lot of small parts, and they are what's called, at any rate, they supply the big automakers.
Right.
And the material handling in that plant goes on simply by the material handlers noticing whether or not, let me put it this way, every bin of parts and every bin of material has red, yellow, and green stacked up, red on the bottom, yellow and green, so that the material handler knows at a glance whether or not the material is running out and the operator is going to have to stop work because they ran out of parts. This is for 5,000 people. There's no talking about it. It's a system that is so embedded that that they have no other system for pulling material into place, and that is such an easy application certainly for restaurants where there's high traffic, high consumption, but any small business that is consuming and has to replenish, we understand it intuitively and it can be put into place. And what happens after the workforce gets used to it is that you can begin to calibrate and narrow the bands, the width between the trigger points, so that at first you might have a very wide red because people are uncomfortable when material gets low. They think we're going to run out.
Right.
And then a very narrow narrow green. But after a while, you can get that red down to almost nothing. So you're actually reducing the amount of material inventory and WIP that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Your cost of consumable parts.
And virtually without saying a word or writing
without
a word.
Without saying a word.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very important understanding, that if we are able to help Alzheimer's patients, which certainly this suggests, and we know that children with autism are greatly helped by having pictures of forks and knives and spoons,
right,
and getting them involved in family life in that
right.
way, what more are we capable of when we have...
And how much of it is low-hanging fruit potentially for efficiencies in your small business? Folks,
absolutely.
Check out the website. Go ahead and give it to us again, Gwen.
VisualWorkplace.com.
Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, the author of Visual Workplace, a great resource. Thanks, Gwendolyn. Good job today. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Quick
yes,
break.
Indeed.
Right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.